You're listening to the Music Biz Weekly Podcast, your go-to resource for music marketing advice, music industry news, and discussion on the latest technologies in the digital music marketplace. Visit MusicBizWeeklyPodcast.com for more information. And now, please welcome your host, Michael Brandbold from Michael Brandbold Marketing, and Brian Thompson from Thorny Bleeder. Take it away, boys.
Go!
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the Music Biz Weekly Podcast. This is episode 69, dude.
What an awesome number, 69.
It's radical. We're going to have some man-on-man action for you in the next...
Oh God.
Hey, I'm Brian Thompson. I'm from Thorny Bleeder. You guys know that. I'm bleeding all over your thorns today, and as well, as usual, I don't know, man. This is obviously going down the toilet right quick.
This is the ultimate bullshit episode.
Yeah, this is
ultimate bullshit. This is pulling it out of our crack of our pants here at 1 minute before hit the record button.
So the guy that you're hearing, that's Michael Brandvold. Introduce yourself, Michael.
Hi, everybody. I'm Michael Brandvold.
Hey, well done. Hey, I do have to apologize because I teased a number of people this week by saying that we were going to have a very special guest, and we were supposed to until...
What am I? Sliced cheese here?
You're not a guest.
You're a
co-host. You're a co-host.
Coda.
She's sleeping. So we were supposed to be joined by a very special guest, but unfortunately 5 minutes ago that changed, some bull crap happened, and that's going to be on for next week. So the next two following episodes, we've got two very special guests. I'm very excited about the one we're going to have next week because I actually name dropped him on my daily podcast on Wednesday as a teaser. And it is Chief. For those who don't know who Chief is the tour manager for one of the biggest rock bands on the face of the planet. That would be Nickelback. Love them or hate them, they are one of the most successful bands in the history of rock music. They are massive and they're still going strong. And Chief has been with them since day one. And he's also a music manager. He has his own company called Chief Music Management, and he manages a couple of other...
Hinder, doesn't he?
Yeah, Hinder, who has, I think, the most recent... they broke a record for like the most selling debut record from a rock band. So he manages Hinder, he manages My Darkest Days, he manages Dallas Smith, he manages Daniel Wesley. This guy's
got Veer Union.
He's got a ton happening. Anyway, so next Friday he will be on the podcast. This one's going to happen for sure. So we're excited to have him.
That's going to be very cool.
Yeah. So today,
let's see if we can get some Nickelback dirt out of him.
Oh yeah. He's been in the industry for like 20 years, like myself. We're both from the same. We both live in Vancouver, so we've got a lot of. It's funny. I don't really know the guy, so it's odd. So it'll be good to shoot the shit with him. So being that our topic has changed within the last 5 minutes, we have absolutely nothing planned. So Michael and I are just going to shoot the shit and talk about some things that normally we would kind of talk offline about. We decided, you know what, why don't we just have a bullshit episode, and the things that we normally talk about in private are actually going to be recorded for you to hear. So that's what...
That's scary.
Yeah, that's what you're going to hear right now. But we should probably... Hello, Coda. Jingle, jingle.
She woke up.
Yeah. Oh, she's going to the bathroom where it's cool. Hey, we should probably give a shout-out to somebody, shouldn't we?
Who?
Come on now. Come on now. Music X-Ray.
Music X-Ray, of course.
Yes. Music X-Ray is a proud sponsor of this here podcast, and we're happy to have them. Michael, why don't you tell us a little bit about what...
Music X-Ray is a very cool service for you to submit your music to the industry. And I don't know about you, Brian, but I seem to get questions every week about, how do I submit my music? you know, how do I talk to a music supervisor? I want to get my music on a TV show. I think it's pretty clear to most people that's kind of where the revenue streams are coming from these days. And Music X-Ray is a killer but very easy to use website to do that.
Yeah, it's. I mean, the great thing about Music X-Ray is that it's not trying to be anything other than what it is. So it's not trying to be another music community where you have to find friends and followers. It's not trying to be another social media network where you have to share stuff and all this kind of post updates. It really is just a place for the industry to do business. So it matches up artists and songwriters with industry professionals who actually have jobs and opportunities. So it's free to for an artist to get up a profile.
It's free to upload all of your music.
Yep. And then you start sifting through all of the opportunities and just see what's available. And there's so many different opportunity categories. I'd say, I don't know, there's probably at least 40 different categories from looking for like music coaches to people looking for artists to put onto their compilations to
bloggers looking for music to review.
Yeah, bloggers to podcasters like us to people looking to put you on radio playlists to people looking for publishing deals to sync licensing opportunities. There's so many options available and you just need to get your profile up and running and then start sifting through and seeing what makes sense for you and your music.
Yeah, there's actually two ways that your music can get submitted. Basically, you upload your music and they've got this match service, which basically somebody from the industry is going to come in and say, I want a track that sounds like Aerosmith, and they're going to upload a sample, and then Music X-Ray goes through all of the music that's been submitted and uploaded for free and tries to find matches. And you'll get an email that says, hey, so-and-so's looking for something, and we think your music might be a match. At that point in time, you can decide whether you want to actually submit your music to that opportunity. The other way is you can go find all these opportunities that they list out and categorize, and you can submit directly to each one.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. This song matching software, there's nothing like it anywhere else, and it's their own proprietary system, and I have no idea how it works, but it's pretty amazing, where it actually analyzes all the music, your songs that you upload, and it knows like what key it's in, it knows like the beats per minute, it knows whether a male or a female is singing, it knows whether it's in like a flat or a major, so it knows like kind of the energy, the vibe, the mood. I don't know all the analysis that happens in the background, but it really knows. It's like, yeah, we think that your song sounds like this Aerosmith song. So this guy is looking to add an Aerosmith-sounding song to his movie, and you have one that sounds kind of like that. So here you go.
Yep.
Pretty cool. Okay, so that's that. Music X-Ray, you can either go to michaelbranvold.com or thornybleeder.com. You'll find a Music X-Ray link. And first and foremost, we want you to share your music with us so that we can play it to the world on our podcast.
Please.
Yes, we want your submissions. If you don't submit, it won't be on the podcast.
Nobody can hear your music if you don't submit it.
Exactly. Okay, so there is that. Now, let's get on to our bullshit. So
what are we talking about? So what did you have for breakfast this morning, Brian?
Well, I had some homemade porridge with some fresh blueberries and cinnamon.
Oh, aren't you special? I had Pop-Tarts.
Oh, that's not very, that's not very healthy.
Oh, I love my Pop-Tarts.
Okay, one of the things that again, normally this would be taken off air, but we're talking about it on air. I was casually talking to Michael about something that I spotted on my Facebook feed this morning, and I'm going to talk about it right now. Something appeared on my Facebook feed this morning that I kind of looked at, made me scratch my head a little, and it was from another music industry professional who posted a video. I don't want to name names because I'm not here to slam or diss anyone. I just want to talk about my perception of something. So this person posted a video basically warning people in the music industry to be careful who you work with. And I couldn't agree more. You do need to be careful who you work with. I mean, there are so many opportunities for any position in the industry that you are seeking help. So yeah, you do need to be careful of who you work with. But just, I don't know, something was kind of rubbing me the wrong way about this video. And I was just like, something's weird. Something's off about this. So I went and looked a little bit further at the YouTube profile for this person. And there's a whole ton of videos, and they all are kind of hovering around the same viewer count, which is incredibly odd for, you know, for so many videos to all kind of be around 50,000, 40,000, 45,000, blah, blah, blah. And also, being that each of these was very specifically topic-oriented, I was like, I know... I'm very well versed in what the audience is to this type of material. And it was just
not
blowing.
That big.
Yeah, it's not that big where you could have 100 videos that are, you know, all within, you know, getting 50,000 views on talking about such a very focused niche topic. It's 50,000 is a lot of YouTube views. Unless it's something really crazy remarkable where it's like, oh my God. And then, but none of these really had an aha moment where it would make someone want to share it. So I was like, okay, so here he is posting video about warning who you work with. Yet I'm looking, I don't trust the numbers that I'm seeing here. So I went and looked at the person's Twitter feed. I looked at their Facebook feed, and they're not interacting with anybody on social media. Meanwhile, they have thousands and thousands and thousands of friends and followers. And they're not doing half the things that they're recommending people to do. So I don't know where I'm going with this other than I do agree with this person's advice saying, be careful who you work with, ask questions, do your research, make sure they know what they're talking about. But beyond that, make sure that they're still active in the area that they're talking about or teaching, and that they actually are practicing what they teach.
Yeah, it comes down to, do they practice what they preach? You know, are you looking at somebody to, you know, here's another story that I was telling Brian about. There's a company here in the Bay Area that puts on some local conventions on how to do PR and how to do social media and promotion and stuff like that. And they've got some very big name keynote speakers coming in. Big named keynote speakers.
Yeah, the one that you shared with me was really big.
Yeah, like, we can say Brian Solis is coming in. Yeah. I mean, so big name speakers. But then when I went and looked at the Twitter profile for the company putting this event on, they've got no Twitter followers. And the last Twitter post was like in March. And it makes me kind of scratch my head going, so they're putting on an event to tell you how to do this, yet they aren't doing it themselves.
Yeah.
It
makes me scratch my head, and it makes me, I just question the validity and the sincerity and the honesty and the transparency and all of those keywords that I use all the time. I just question all that crap, because especially now that we are in such a connected culture, where we do really expect people to be keeping us all up to date on such a regular basis. Because of that, people only want to transact and do business with those that we trust. And if your social feeds, or if what you're presenting to us via social media, via the web, if it's anything that makes us question your sincerity and your honesty, then you're probably not going to get the business you're looking for. But beyond that, I mean, just going back to this video, and yes, you do need to question those who you plan on hiring. For example, do you really want to hire somebody to coach you in social media who only has 100 followers of their own? And not that numbers are everything, but, you know, if you go to their social media profiles and they aren't having any success, then how can they possibly teach you to have success if they're not having any on their own?
Or maybe what it is it's just a question you can ask that person.
Exactly.
Is okay, so, you know, why would I want, literally, why would I hire you to coach me if you're not active? And now they may come up with a very legitimate reason why they're not active. That's fine. Give them that opportunity. Ask the question.
That's a great point. Yeah, I don't want to come across as prejudging people. You do need to be a little bit leery and just, yeah, ask people openly. Why should I work with you? I noticed this. I'm just going to be honest. This is what I noticed. This is what I felt. What's your response? What's your vibe on this? And this actually reminds me of a great story. I've done some guest speaking at a recording school and business school here in Vancouver called Nimbus School of Recording, and the music business teacher had a great story about one of his students who was taking his music business class and who was looking to take on their first artist as a client, as a management client. So the teacher said, well, why don't you come into our office and have your first meeting with the band in our office, surrounded by all this cool gear and all these gold and platinum records, and kind of rock your stuff, you know? So the student did that. They brought in this band. Now, typically, it would be a band kind of, asking the questions like why should we work with you, like that's kind of, and then this student just totally flipped it around and said, prove to me why I should work with you.
That's awesome.
And he was, because my friend the teacher was standing on the sidelines, and he said he was just so proud seeing this student like really own it, like taking ownership and saying no, it would be your privilege to work with me, not the other way around. So why don't you tell me why I should manage you?
Right.
And the band was like, So that's a great idea. I think it's, you do need to, whether you're looking for someone to build a website or to help you with social media or to do, to tour manage you or to do your radio campaign or to whatever, to engineer your album, to be your roadie, to be your merch guy, you have to ask the right appropriate questions. Don't just take anybody just because they're willing and available and because they're there.
Yeah, that's great that somebody's interested, but you want somebody who's interested and has some experience. I mean, we were also chatting. It's like, if you want somebody to help you with your merch stand at your shows, have they ever worked in a merch stand before? Have they ever hung out in the back of a dingy club for 4 hours selling T-shirts?
Have they ever handled money?
Have they handled money? Have they ever negotiated with that fan who says, I've only got $10, but this costs $12? The easy answer is, sorry, you don't have the right amount of money. Bye. But maybe this person's got experience in making the fan happy and collecting some money for you. Totally. It's just, if you're working with somebody who's going to do radio promotion, have they ever worked in a radio station?
Yeah, and also, what are their relationships? Who do they know? Like, are you potentially hiring a publicist to solicit your work to the blogosphere when they've never done blog publicity before? It's a very different world than doing publicity to print media.
Yep.
I've received pitches from publicists who clearly don't know how to deal with bloggers, and it's almost embarrassing.
Well, and it's funny that, as simple as this might sound, I think a lot of people don't do it. Google. If you're going to work with somebody, go Google them. And see what shows up. I get people emailing me every once in a while. It's like, yeah, have you heard of this company? They say they can help me with my career and do something, blah, blah, blah. And I've never heard of them, but clearly they have not researched the company yet. I can get into Google, and this has happened twice, within 2 minutes of Googling, the first page is filled with complaints, scam posts, everything else, where I'm just like, dude, I don't know who this company is, but just look at the Google posts. I would be questioning this company.
Yeah, you know, and even just diving, you know, doing a little bit of Facebook work, like, do they have a public profile? Can you actually see what some of their recent postings are? What are they doing on Twitter? You know, it's very important to do your due diligence now, more so than ever, especially with how many ex-major label people are out there looking for work. And all I'm saying is that there's a lot more options than ever before to hire, quote, professionals. So you just need to, you know, make sure you're working with the right people. And also, like, you know, have a little bit of an interview with them. Like, you know, how do they handle, you know, can they handle grace under fire? Like, you know, do they get all heated up when they're dealt with a confrontation? Like, for example, that's the last thing you want if you're taking somebody out on the road with you. You
right.
want someone who's level-headed and can, you know, is used to kind of babysitting and trying to keep, you know, be a mediator and keep the calm and all that type of thing. Those things are very
yep.
important
yep.
if you're sitting in a van with somebody for 4 or 6 weeks.
And, you know, we've talked about this before, and I actually had somebody come back to me with a real case confirmation of this. You can't cut corners. So getting back to your initial point where you kind of were wondering if this person had bought views on their video, I actually had a friend come back to me and they were like, Mike, this band I know actually did go out and buy Twitter followers. You know, those buy 10,000 followers for right. $100 type of thing. They bit the bullet, they went and did it. But unfortunately, Twitter caught them and closed their account. And they're like, Mike, is there anything they can do to get their account back? And I'm like, unfortunately, probably not.
Yeah.
Because the reality is, when you joined Twitter, their terms of service said, we'll not do that.
Yeah. I mean, you could beg for forgiveness. And that might work. That might work. I recall when I was a complete newbie on Reddit, I created multiple profiles because I was an super eager guy trying to promote the band I was working with. I was only working with one artist and one artist only. And I was, every day, I was just going to promote this band. I'm just going to promote this band. So I had created numerous profiles. And within like a day or two, I was busted. All yep. of them were frozen. And they're like, you just upvoted your own article on 5 different profiles. You can't do that. You know, and clearly it was, you know, so I've gone through these things, and, you know, I just had good intentions. I just wanted to spread the word. But obviously now looking back on it, you know, this was like 6 years ago. It was like, yeah, I was clearly spamming. I was spamming and I was frauding the system and I was doing things in a very, I was cheating the system, and I'm glad I was caught. That was a huge learning for me. And I've applied, you know, those learnings ever since moving forward. It's like, you got to be fair. You don't want to game the system. There's no benefit to gaming the system because eventually you will be caught. And that actually ties into something that we mentioned in this Wednesday's Rockstar Branding podcast, where the author of a very popular book, the book was titled Imagine, and the author is also was a writer for The New Yorker magazine, one of the most prestigious literary magazines out there, and he admitted to making up quotes
from Bob Dylan
to put in his book. So he resigned, but probably he was forced to, and now the publisher has recalled all of his books. So again, here was somebody who was trying to cheat the system to earn a certain type of respect, to get noticed, to create something, and to make sales, to make bank, to help his ego. And while from the onset it looked like, hey, this was all working, and he was probably rubbing his hands going, hey, see, it works. Well, now he's lost everything. And that's really sad, from just a few really foolish mistakes. So there's nothing to be gained from cheating the system. So don't buy followers. Don't buy page views. Don't buy, quote, listens. Don't buy any of this stuff. Everything has to be legitimate. And you're cheating yourself if you're not.
Yeah, I mean, you know, just imagine if you came to your Twitter page tomorrow morning and it was gone. All your legitimate fans are gone. You know, it's gone, people. It's gone.
Yeah, and that now that ties into something else that appeared earlier this week on digitalmusicnews.com. There was an article that was titled, Music Startup Says That 80% of Facebook Ad Clicks Are Bots.
Yeah.
So it was from a...
And for those of you that don't know, bot basically means it's not a real person. It's just a computer clicking, clicking, clicking.
Yeah. So this came from Limited Run on Twitter. That's their Twitter handle, Limited Run. And now they don't have any real empirical data. This is kind of, you know, a bunch of hearsay per se.
You say?
but you can dig into it. Go to Digital Music News, and you know they're saying that from what they're seeing, 80% were all of the clicks that they were paying for were done by people by things that weren't people, by robots. So they're you know. Again, now you're not buying fans by taking out a Facebook ad, but that's old school advertising on a new world media platform. I don't know if the two mix.
Yeah, no, Facebook ads are worth investigating, but you got to watch the numbers really, really close.
And do small little tests.
Small tests. I mean, like $50 test.
Exactly. Yeah.
Don't put in $500 and just come back and look at it in 3 weeks.
See, I would be I would lean more to wanting to pay to promote a status update than pay to acquire new fans. Personally. And actually, as of today, or earlier this week, Facebook actually announced that you can now,
you have greater targeting.
You can target your updates, your paid updates from your fan page. Now, for those of you that aren't aware, every time you publish a status update on Facebook, only a fraction of the people see it. I mean, you know, not everybody is on Facebook all day, so... If you posted something at 8 a.m., that person who doesn't log in until 6 p.m., they're not going to see your posting.
But the bigger issue is it may not ever even appear in their wall.
Right.
So even if they were to scroll back through their entire news feed until, you know, the previous morning, it still may not show up in their wall because Facebook determined that even though they liked your page, they're really not interested in your content.
Yeah. So anyway, so now, as of this week, you can now geo-target your posts. So you can, you know, like, for example, if I click on mine right now, it says that for only $10, it's going to reach up to 4,000 people, which is pretty huge compared to whatever, the 500 people that saw the post that I put up this morning.
Right.
So for $10, you know, that's a... You know, there's some value in that. And those are people that I'm reaching, people who have already said that they liked what I do. So that's the value there. Anyway.
You know, that whole thing with Facebook, though, and not showing it to everybody, it frosts my balls.
It frosts your balls.
It's just like, God damn you, Facebook. You probably have just determined that we're going to do this so we can make money. That's it. It's not that anybody doesn't really want your content, because damn it, they came and they liked my page anyway.
Yeah.
So why can't the user determine whether they want it or not?
Because
as opposed, you got Facebook sitting here saying, we're going to determine that only 14% of the people are going to see this. But guess what? We've got this awesome solution here for you. If you want everybody to see it, pay us.
You know what? I understand what you're saying, but I respectfully disagree. I am actually completely on Facebook's side on the on how they filter out stuff. And here's why. I don't think the average user has the ability to filter out their stuff. They randomly click around Facebook like drunk fucking sailors, clicking like on this and that and this and that and this and that. And if you were to go to the average person's likes that they have, they would have like hundreds of things that they like that they really don't even like. So, you know, if you add up all of their friends who aren't really their friends, and if you add up all of their likes, which they don't really like, and then if you were to say that your Facebook feed is now going to show each and every single update from every one of the things you've liked or friended, it's just going to all of a sudden look like how MySpace looked 5, 6, 7 years ago, when it was just a wall of constant garbage. With no way to filter it out. This way, Facebook is saying, listen, we're going to filter out the crap based on your habits. Based on your habits. So if you haven't interacted with this thing because they are posting shit, and if you haven't interacted with them in the last 6 weeks, then yeah, we're going to take it off your feed because you're showing us through your inaction that you don't like it. And I'm totally happy with that. I actually want my thing filtered because I don't want to see 5,000 people posting garbage that I just simply don't care about.
But I want to be able to have the ability to add that content back in.
You do. Now, here is something some people might not know.
Some people, I venture to say 90% of the people don't know this.
Okay, so let's do this. Okay. Let's sit. I want you right now, if you're at a computer, go to Facebook right now because I want to walk you through this. This is something that virtually no one knows. If there is a page that you really, really, really want to make sure you never miss anything. So, I don't know, maybe there's 5 bands or a magazine or whatever. Somebody that you really want to make sure you see everything that they do. Click on their page. Okay, you there? Awesome. Okay, now at the very top, right beside the liked checkbox, you're going to see the word message. So yeah, that's a new feature where you can actually send the page owner a direct message. But then it also shows a little gear icon with a drop-down arrow. If you click on that drop-down arrow, you can click Add to Interest Lists. Or there's another option that says Add to My Page's Favorites. You can do either one. Let's click on Add to Interest Lists. If you've never clicked that before, it's going to be kind of a blank box, and at the bottom it's going to say New List. Well, guess what? You can now create lists of by categories. So you could create a list for music. You could create a list for favorite authors. You could create a list for girls that you're stalking. You could whatever you want. Put it in there, click next, and then you can choose to make that list either public or private or only just to your friends. Then you can create a list name, and then bada bing, it's done. So now what you can do is when you click on your Facebook feed on the right-hand column, you're now going to see at the very bottom, it says interests. You can now just click on that list that you made, and you're going to see every single status update from everybody that you put into that list. So it does require an extra click, so they're not going to automatically directly appear in your news feed, but one click down, you can click on that category, and you're going to see every single thing that you put in there. And I think it's a great way because a lot of people still aren't even really using lists on Twitter, which is hugely helpful, hugely beneficial.
Right.
So this is kind of taking that same type of functionality in getting rid of the garbage and filtering out into just the stuff that you want. So if you can have unlimited lists. So if you're categorizing and using Facebook lists smartly, then really you could essentially ignore your regular feed and just surf through your lists. Does that make sense?
Yeah, of course it makes sense. It makes sense for Facebook so they can make some advertising revenue off of us.
Well, like it or not, you know, like it or not, this is one of our greatest tools out there right now for anybody in DIY. And, you know, there's a huge amount of people using it, and your shit does get noticed. I mean, it's like it or not, we have to work within their own little walled little garden.
Yep.
And so we have to, you know, if we don't like it, we can always leave. We're not made to be there. But the fact of the matter is that, you know, hey, if I put up, if I write a blog and I post it on Facebook, I know that people are going to read it. I get people click, you know, if it wasn't for Facebook or Twitter, God, I don't even know how blogs were discovered before.
No, I know. Facebook and Twitter are huge, huge traffic sources.
Seriously, I had a blog on MySpace years ago, and of course, only the people on MySpace read it. So if you weren't on MySpace, you didn't know that I had a blog. So how were you blogging before Facebook and Twitter?
Me? No. Nope.
Yeah, so I mean, it's... the world of blogging really changed with Facebook.
I mean, you know, prior to social networking, you pretty much had to go buy traffic.
Yeah.
You know, you had to either do affiliate linking or traffic trades. You know, now with social networks, you don't necessarily have to buy all of your traffic anymore.
It's just crazy how much it's changed in such a short amount of time, hey?
Oh, yeah. I mean, to me, it's just amazing that I know that there's a couple places you can always go to get traffic.
Yeah.
I mean, and at the end of the day, the entire internet revolves around one thing only, and that's traffic. Who's got it and where can you get it?
Well, yeah, but I mean, there are many other factors. I mean, it also, you know, plays into, you know, you have to have good content to get repetitive traffic. You can have a short-term burst for, you know, because you might have an intriguing, falsifying headline that drives traffic. But if they don't like what they see once they get there, then they're never going to come back.
Sure. I mean, quality content always matters, but without traffic, nobody's seeing your content.
Yeah.
But and prior to social networks, you know, where did you go to get your traffic? You tried to work SEO and you did, you know, Google AdWords, and you'd go find websites and trade links with them. And
yeah, talking in forums.
All that type of stuff. And now it's just so much easier.
Yeah. Pretty crazy. So what else is going on? What else is what else can we bullshit about today?
What else can we bullshit about?
I know last week you mentioned there's something grinding your gears, and I can't recall what it was.
How was that?
And we were going to talk about it, and I think I even said, let's see if we can cool down before we talk about it. What was that? Oh, I have a hunch it may have been website related regarding maybe a client or something.
Oh, I can't remember. It seems like every week there's something that grinds me.
What's grinding your gears this week?
All right, I'll throw this out here.
Okay.
I read an interesting article on Hypebot.
Yeah.
Programming languages for musicians. An introduction to programming languages for musicians. And the article itself is fine, it's viable. It talks about PHP and Python and Ruby on Rails and Java. But, I mean, I don't know about you, but my first thought was, really?
I don't think it's a natural marriage of
I mean, no disrespect to any musician out there who this does mean something to, but I don't know any musicians who are going to sit here and go, you know, I got enough time on my hands. I'm going to learn how to write Ruby on Rails.
Yeah.
Really? Can we update your Facebook page first?
I think, you know, it's well intentioned. I think it
totally is intentioned. Totally great information, but I was just like,
not very realistic.
I was just like, oh my god, I'm dealing with musicians who I can't get them to figure out how to upgrade from version 3 of Firefox.
Well, yeah, or you know, most musicians still don't even know what a podcast is.
It's just like Python. They're like, isn't that a snake?
It's an internet snake.
Java, I get that at Starbucks every morning.
Oh, well, let's see. What's grinding my gears? Well, grinding my gears is, well, I already told you today, it was that thing that was just made me scratch my head because that video seemed fairly contradictory, how this person was warning others to be careful who you worked with. And then when I went and did a little bit of digging, it was like, wait a minute, I'm kind of calling you out on your own BS here, because I don't believe you have 50,000 views in the last 30 days on that video that has no... Actually, even the comments, all of the YouTube videos had the comments turned off. That makes me even, you know, question things as well.
Didn't I ask you, I'm like, go to their Facebook page. Maybe they got their traffic from Facebook.
Nope. The last 7 days with over almost 10,000 fans in the last 7 days, only 8 interactions.
So we know it didn't come from Facebook. We know it didn't come from Twitter. You know, my natural question is just then, so where are you getting your traffic from, dude?
Yeah.
And that would be the question you got to ask. Where do you get traffic from?
And those are things that, you know, labels and managers look at and consider when potentially working with a band as well. Like, it goes both ways. So if you tell me that your band has 40,000 fans... and that they're all raving, and that they're all over the world, and you know, you've got people demanding your music all over, and I go and I find out that only 5 people are talking to you, and that the only people on Twitter that are talking to you are porn star Autobot tweets, and you have, you know, no ratings on iTunes, or you know, all this kind of stuff. You know, so you got to be careful what you're telling people, how you're promoting yourself.
Yeah, you do. I mean, me from a business standpoint, I would feel like if I had inflated my numbers and then somebody's going to want me to do that naturally for them, how the hell am I going to do that?
Right.
You know, if they're like, oh, dude, you got 50,000 views on your video on how to tweet. Can you do that for me?
Well, I can if you give me $500 to get you 5,000 views. Or
don't ask where I got them.
Yeah. Make sure you turn your comments off. Oh, yeah. No, I just get such a red flag when people turn off comments on blogs or turn off comments anywhere, or they're not communicating with people on social media. It's just like, what are you hiding from?
Yep. When I was in Minneapolis a couple weeks ago speaking at the Conclave Radio Convention, the last question somebody asked me was, what is the worst thing I've ever seen a musician do on Twitter? And, you know, I think they were digging for gossip. Like, what stupid thing did they say? And I actually, my answer was, the worst thing is to say nothing.
Yeah.
I said, that is the biggest failure. The worst thing they've ever done is to not say a word.
Totally.
And that really, people's eyes really went, oh wow, that is, I get that. I get that.
So on a different, completely different tangent, let's dive into a little bit of personal stuff here. Not personal, but I mean, what's happening with you lately and Michael Branvold Marketing? What's going on? What's your week been like, and what's anything interesting coming up or anything cool projects you're working on?
Other than being sick for the last week.
Yeah, aside from
that. Other than that, Dream Theater is keeping me busy. Love working with these guys. They're getting ready to head back down to South America for the last leg of their tour, and then they're going on a break. But that's when the fun's going to really kick in of looking for new opportunities to get them active when they're in their off cycle. And I actually had a cool meeting with Google Plus earlier this week.
Cool. Yeah, we talked briefly about that. What why don't you tell us a little bit more about
that? You know, they're just they've actually got a dedicated marketing team for Google Plus and musicians, and you know, they're looking to see what they can do to get musicians more involved in Google Plus and specifically Hangouts. Because it was funny. They sat down. They're like, so tell me, what do you think of Google Plus? And I looked at them. I go, do you want the real truth? They go, yes. I go, okay, here it is.
How was that received? I assume that they
very well. I mean, they took some notes. It was very well. And you know, and I said, listen, I think the success, the standout factor is Hangouts. That differentiates Google Plus from everybody else. And they were like, we agree.
Yeah.
Completely agree. I like all the other stuff. It's just no different than Facebook, Twitter, it's friends, it's status updates, posting photos, blah, 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 blah. A Hangout is different.
Yeah.
So they're really interested in what they can do to get musicians involved in using Hangouts. So we chatted about some ideas, and you know, one of the things I immediately threw out is, how can we monetize a Hangout?
Yeah,
I go, that's what an artist wants to do, is they want to make money. How can I make money off of a Hangout?
Well, yeah, they want to. I mean, it's natural for, I mean, that's if you really want to help an artist, it's not only going to be helping them connect with fans and make new fans, but also have the ability to monetize something when and where applicable. So, you know, we all know that YouTube is probably going to eventually have a paid premium model. I'm pretty sure eventually they will have some type of premium content that you could buy, like a Netflix for whatever, $4.99 a month. That's my hunch. So it's natural, I think, especially since Google Plus now has the ability to simulcast live video Hangouts directly live to YouTube, for there to be a premium feature on top for the people participating in the live interactive portion of the Google Plus Hangout.
Yeah.
Well, I think there is a paid premium there.
And something as simple as getting a conversion out of the people watching it, meaning can I at least have people register with an email address to join my Google Hangout?
Yeah, and collecting data is huge.
So they were very receptive to all of that. I mean, it's definitely not there right now, but they understood the importance of that. Because, you know, I told them, like, listen, we can do free Hangouts from now until the end of the world. But at some point in time, people are going to go, all right, I'm not going to keep doing these for free. What am I getting out of this?
Yeah.
What am I getting out of this? Yeah, you're interacting with your fans, but I'm not getting an email address. I'm not able to upsell. I said, wouldn't it be great to upsell a digital download right within a Google Hangout? And I go, not just a Google Play download, but let us do, you know, links to Topspin and Nimbit and Reverb Nation and, you know, Bandcamp and Google Play. Let the artist, wherever their music is being sold. Because, you know, I said, is Google interested in making, you know, a 10% cut off of somebody's 99-cent sale? And they were basically like, no, that's not what we're interested in. I go, so then who cares what the service is that you're letting them sell?
You know, it's proven through, you know, through Livestream and Ustream and StageIt that these are all competing services that all have a monetization layer a part of it. And that they all offer live interactive video. So as much as I love the concept of Google Video, it would be easy for someone to overtake them if they don't really step up and try to differentiate their product by making it a little bit more targeted to the niche musician audience.
Well, you know, and even these things I was giving them as input doesn't apply specifically to a musician. You know, anybody would want that ability to register an attendee for a Hangout, sell the attendee an archived video afterwards.
Well, I mean, look at the whole world of online video webinars. I mean,
yeah,
me and you, we've done a number of them now. And
actually, I talked to him about webinars as well.
Yeah, I mean, we're actually due to do another one in the near future here, but the software to produce a live webinar is not cheap. It's expensive to go to, you know, GoToMeeting or any meeting or any one of these services. They're all, you know, for the premium model, hundreds of dollars a month.
Right.
So I think there's a huge, and all it is live interactive video. That's all it is. I mean,
that's all it is.
At its most simple, of course, there's layers of stuff, features on top of that, but I think Google Video could become a pretty big player.
No, we chatted about webinars because I mentioned our webinars to him, and I said, you know, it's not a huge priority for you and I to get onto Google Video for webinars, but I said, listen, you got the ability to share a screen already. You've got unlimited people that can watch this. You create an automatic archive of that video on YouTube. So I said the couple missing connections are advanced registration and selling that archive and then adding in a chat stream.
Right.
And you've basically got competition to every webinar platform that's out there.
Yeah, that could be huge.
Big.
That could be disruptive technology, as they say.
Yeah, but again, it's the same piece a musician would want. Advanced registration, selling something afterwards. You know, it's just a couple pieces need to be added in, and all of a sudden you've got a tool that is super simple, but works.
Totally. You know what? I think we've rambled on for a while here about nothing, which is pretty cool. I stumbled upon something last night that I want to share with you guys as a parting message. Not as a message, just as something I simply want to share with you because I discovered this last night. I don't know where the heck I found it. I simply can't remember where I found it. But it's from a blog posting from 2010. So this blog post is over 2 years old, but I'm going to link to it. Both of us will link to it in the show notes because I think it's just something that is one of my most commonly asked questions over and over and over and over again. Michael, you don't even know what I'm talking about yet. It's a blog post titled 33 Ways to Make More Time in Your Life for Music Making. It's cool. Pretty cool. I don't know about you, Michael, but I mean, that's one thing. Every time we talk, even after these podcasts, it's like, oh, yeah, you guys had great ideas, but when am I supposed to practice? Or when am I supposed to write songs? Or how am I supposed to find time for that? and this article gives some great, very plain, obvious suggestions that we all already know.
So here, is Martin Atkins' advice the number one? Get the fuck out of bed.
kind of. Disconnect is number one. You know, it is. I mean, actually, episode with Martin Atkins was great because it was similar things. It's, you know, the first few items on this list are disconnect, ban your television, put a timer on this, shut off your cell phone, do this, do that. And it's all like very obvious advice, but I think... really, there are no excuses. You can do it. You can do it.
I mean, listen, I find myself in the same boat sometimes. It's like, oh, my God, I need more time to do something. Well, instead of getting up at 8 a.m., I'm going to get up at 6 a.m.
Yeah, I was up at 5:20 today.
And, you know, instead of going to bed at 10, you go to bed at midnight. Yeah. And, you know, all of a sudden you got a couple extra hours and you're like, holy God. At least for me, the couple extra hours in the morning is always a lot more productive than at night.
Oh, totally. And also, I mean, shutting off, like I've made the habit of, especially if I'm writing, shutting off the internet. Shutting off
my phone. How do you turn off the internet? Other than going to India.
It's a switch that not many people have used. Okay, I gotta run. Thanks a ton for tuning in, everybody. You are a trooper if you stuck it through this meandering, BSing episode about nothing. But hopefully you got something out of it. You know, whatever. We're just sharing some bullshit.
Couple nuggets in there.
Yeah, I think there's some actionable advice. Next week, we will be joined by Chief, tour manager for Nickelback and artist manager for My Darkest Days and Hinder and Veer Union and Daniel Wesley. So that is going to be a fantastic episode. If you have any questions that you want us to ask Chief, tweet them to either Michael or myself, and we'll consider them. And above and beyond that, Music X-Ray, if you want your song on this podcast, there's always time. So, hey, for all you hard rockers out there, if you want your song to be played on next week's episode with Chief, I don't know, pretty good opportunity. Just saying, you might want to submit your music to us, because that's what this following act did. This is the song we're about to play you now. is an amazing virtuoso guitarist. His name is Matthew Fagan, and this song is called Gypsy Caravan. It has a really cool world music vibe. He's playing a custom 10-string Spanish guitar. It's just smoking fingerstyle, bluegrass, kind of klezmer, flamenco, jazz, Latin. It's all over the place. Whole bunch of styles mashed into one. And it's just a great instrumental virtuoso track. I think you guys
are gonna like it. Take the time, listen to it. It's an instrumental track, but take the time and give it a listen.
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
Has a Django Reinhardt kind of vibe to it, too. It's pretty cool. So you can find... Where can you find Matthew Fagan? I believe you can find him at... let me just... Sorry. I don't have my shit.
Show yet. Prep.
MatthewFagan.com. Yes. Fagan is F-A-G-A-N. So go to...
You know, it would be nice to assume that would be what it is for every artist out there, but we can't do that.
Exactly. So here is Gypsy Caravan from Matthew Fagan. Go pay him a visit online and tell him that he rocks. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next
Thanks, everyone.
Week.